Crack. Despite the cold, wet weather, he was sweating inside the layers of clothing he wore. Thermal underwear, a flannel shirt, a down-filled vest. He hated this time of year. Every day was shorter than the last. Night began to fall in late afternoon. Winter could arrive on any given day and stay until April. They had had an ice storm on Halloween and a blizzard on Veterans Day, followed by 3 days of rain that had caused flash flooding in low-lying areas. The odd day of stunning electric blue skies and a paltry few lingering fall colors couldn't make up for the stretches of bleak gray or the damp cold that knifed to the bone. It buried its blade between his shoulders as he wiped the moisture from his face on the sleeve of his shirt and hoisted the axe again. Swing, crack. The temperature was dropping quickly. The intermittent spitting rain that had been falling off and on all afternoon was giving way to a pelting snow that cut like tiny shards of glass, stinging his ruddy cheeks. Every winter he bitched about the Minnesota weather and vowed to move to Florida the day he retired from the police department. But if he moved to Florida, he wouldn't have any reason to split wood. What would he do for his sanity then? Like he stood any chance of getting away from here anyway, he thought, looking up at the house, where lights had come on in the kitchen and in one bedroom upstairs. His family all lived in Bloomington. Barbie, the Ballbusters family, was entrenched in the southern suburbs. The kids had all their cousins and friends here. Maybe he should go alone. Maybe everyone would be happier if he did. He sighed and picked up another chunk of wood, set it on its end on the stump, stepped back and swung the axe. Mr. Lumberjack. Mr. Sex Crimes Detective of the Year. Featured speaker at conferences all over the Midwest. Expert on the subject of human degradation. Swing, crack. Swing, crack. He tried to concentrate on the silence between the small explosions of the axe striking the wood. He sucked cold air into his smoke-blackened lungs. His heart pounded too hard from the effort. The muscles in his shoulders cramped. He felt like he might have a heart attack at any moment. Barbie would revive him and kill him again with her bare hands, furious to be left with the kids and the mortgage and the Catholic school tuitions. Theirs was a marriage in the way of many couples, a partnership of paychecks that didn't stretch far enough, intimacy a thing of memory, the future a projected image at the far end of a treadmill that ran too fast. More and more, all he wanted was off. They resented each other more days than not. His wife had ceased to think of him as a man. He was a paycheck, a roommate, a pain in the ass. He had sought validation and comfort elsewhere. It wasn't hard to get. Consequently, it didn't mean anything. And the spiral of his life went down and down. He didn't like what his marriage had become. He didn't like what he had become. His grandmother had always warned him about purgatory, hell's waiting room, she used to call it. Purgatory had become his life. Sometimes he wondered if death could be so much worse. Swing, crack. Swing, crack. Crack, crack. The final two sounds seemed to come from far away, like an echo. Ted Duffy was dead before he could wonder why. The first bullet hit him between the shoulder blades as he held the axe high over his head. It shattered bone and deflated a lung and tore through a major artery. The second bullet struck him in the head, entering above the right ear, exiting below the left eye. He dropped face first to the ground at the base of the tree stump, his eyes open, but seeing nothing. Blood pooling beneath his cheek and seeping into the new fallen snow. 2. November, Minneapolis, Minnesota, present day.
Duffy was